G'day and welcome to the Breaking Through podcast. I like revisiting bands I haven't spoken to in a year, and I think we could be at the year anniversary that I last had Lazy Ghost on, possibly, because I think it was just after Laneway last time. It's Carl. How you going, big boy?
Good, mate. How are you?
Not too bad. Last time I spoke to you, I got the whole rundown. I got the tea from everything that had happened before you came back to Australia and then getting, you know, a whole new band back together. It felt new. It felt fresh. And it felt like, you know, how a new band should. But you guys have done a lot in the last 12 months. Played at Splendor at Bunbury Brewery, which we'll talk about a bit later. Show, songs are going well. How far do you think the band's come in the last 12 months, like amongst yourselves, like amongst, you know, building that connection, building that camaraderie? Does it feel like, you know, you wouldn't have been able to achieve that if, you know, everything wasn't working out with you guys?
Yeah, definitely. I think our friendship's grown like so much since we last chatted. And yeah, I have to apologize about last time. I was pretty heavy on the red wines, but I was listening back to that podcast and I was like, fuck, I'm sounding pretty confident. Like, what's going on there? Jesus Christ, chill out, bud. But yeah, no, definitely like us four boys, like, you know, get on the road and we're just fucking real, real good mates now. And it's just like, yeah, it's like starting a new band, but, you know, like just carrying on. And yeah, we're just good mates on the road. It's super fun. And it's really translating to music now, like just like our personality and then stage presence. And yeah, it's gone really well.
And it's not like, you know, you see with a lot of bands, like they might have one song that gets a lot of playlists and does quite well and gets, you know, maybe 100, 200K streams or something like that. You guys are getting multiple songs like that. And, you know, they're all sounding, you know, they're all in the same genre, but different areas in that genre. So like you're obviously resonating well with audience. What do you think it is?
I think at the very beginning it was confusing about, you know, how far, like we'd go real psych rock, then we'd go like chill indie music, we'd have some like, you know, Australian New Zealand influence reggae sort of stuff. But I think now, and I had a chat to fans on the weekend in Sydney when we played at Booty Block Party, and I was just asking them, like, you know, do you like the progression of the band? Like what's do you like Holy Moly, do you like one of our other songs like Last in Line, like what's the difference? So like I just love to see bands grow and have different music. So when I hear that from people, I'm like, great, so we can kind of just throw out what we want and, you know, still capture those listeners, still capture our fans, and there aren't too like, oh, I don't like Holy Moly, I only like Juicy Skies. Like they seem to like, you know, the like both of them, which is, I find really cool. So it gives a bit of confidence in that sense.
Last time I spoke to you on the pod, obviously you only had a couple songs out in the new generation of Lazy Ghost. And, you know, fans were still connected to the older stuff and, you know, they obviously did quite well and everyone likes them. Do you feel like more people are connected to both generations of Lazy Ghost now, or like pushing towards the newer generation? Like, how do you kind of see it playing out?
I think we've got a bunch of new fans and then a bunch of those new fans just kind of tacking on to the older stuff. But I don't think they find too much difference other than the quality of the songs that are going to come out in the next few months. They're definitely way, way better than what we put out. I think they enjoy it. From what I've heard, they don't really mind. They say it still seems pretty true. It's still your voice. But I think more of the personality this time around with the new music that's coming out soon, I think that's the big thing that'll change. Yeah, we'll see.
Just talking yourself up, mate. You must be on the red wines again. Jazz and I, and me on TikTok a lot, have been focusing on festivals and the music scene in general. And I feel like the way to move forward is to be as honest and critical as we can. We all want a supportive and flourishing music scene. Some of us look at it differently. And Splendor's obviously, you know, just released a lineup. You, like, last year obviously didn't sell out. And then Byron Bay Brewery, was it like a month out that you guys all got announced on that little lineup? Because I spent most of my time there. I saw your guys set and that little spot was awesome. What was that process of like, you know, getting to not having that, you know, few month preparation and just going like, was it a month out? Was it a couple weeks out when they came to you and went, hey, want to come and play Splendor, but like on a side stage? Like how is that process?
Yeah, it was 6 weeks out And I think I was on holiday in Europe somewhere, and it was like four, I think probably 3 a.m. And I just like wake up, and there's like my phone just going off, just absolutely blowing up. There's like people emailing me being like, hey, need to know today if you want to play Splendor in the Grass. This is Byron Bay Brewery. I forget the guy's name. And then I got our booking agent just calling me like, yo, wake up. It's time to wake up. I don't care what you're doing. Wake up. So I'm like on the phone, and I'm just like, just stoked as like, all right, look at the date. When is it? It's like June 23rd. And I'm like, all right, we got 4 weeks. I'm not back for 2.5 weeks. So we've got 2 weeks to practice a 40-minute set at Splendor in the Grass. Yeah, that was
your date's wrong. That's July, mate.
That's July. When? Yeah, it was end of June. We got the email, and then end of July. Isn't that when Splendor was?
Yeah, it's like it's always in that like 20, 21, 22 weekend in July.
Oh yeah, true. Not the end. Yeah. So yeah, shit, 4 weeks, I guess. Yeah. It was a 4 week turnaround. Yeah, last minute got us and like the Grogans, I think, were on there. Betty Ray's. I think it was all really last minute. Like the Velvet Club from Melbourne were there.
Yeah. Chutney
were there. Yep. That was awesome. Like that was the funnest time. Like I think all of those bands, all of us just like hung in the backstage of that area the whole weekend, drinking everyone else's beers and just like chatting shit and having an awesome time, man. It was absolutely unreal.
So you talk about hanging out with the bands backstage and that type of stuff. What type of chats are happening about, you know, getting picked up real early on? Real late. Like, do you go, what were your guys' thoughts? What were your guys' processes? Do you kind of process it together, or kind of just focus on, you know, the cool sets that are happening?
I don't think I actually had that conversation about how late it was. I didn't even really think about it being like added last minute whatsoever. Like I just thought that was just like us. Like we were just the, you know, the Riggins. Like, oh shit, who's close and we can pay this money? All right. Lazy Ghost are there. Yep, cool. You guys, like, I think he followed us on Instagram like that day and was like, yeah, cool, you're it. but yeah, we definitely didn't chat about that. We just talked about different venues around the country and which ones are good, which ones are not as good, and which bands we like at the moment, which song we like of each other's. Yeah, there's a lot of shit chat. It's good.
Obviously, Old Mervs and Rum Jungle and those type of boys are on the actual Splendor lineup this year. Congrats to the boys.
Yeah.
Playing Byron Bay Brewery, what's that do to your desire to get like a main stage Splendor slot? Like, does that kind of go, holy fuck, we played Splendor technically, but like we need to get on that lineup, you know, initially, like how much does that passion grow?
I think at that stage, like that was such a good email to get, where we were, like, you know, released a couple of songs and we're just like losing momentum. And then, you know, you get these little extra things that keep happening to us at the moment, and we're super grateful that we're getting opportunities thrown at us, and it's definitely helpful to get these little things to get you to that next phase, because the motivation, and a lot of people could probably resonate with this in a lot of bands that have been going for a while now, it's hard to keep doing the same thing, playing the same music and being like, all right, you know, when's the next step, or what is the next step, when's it gonna go?
Finding that path is hard.
It's ridiculous because not everyone has the same path. Like, you know, you see people getting amazing views on TikTok or Instagram or however it's working, and you know, they haven't cut their teeth, you know, playing massive live shows, and that must be difficult in itself, you know, like just getting put straight in front of people when you haven't, you know, interacted with an audience or done all these crazy things that you learn in the beginning. But it's amazing.
Nick, I mean, everyone's dealing with different shit, and you know, you guys done really cool shows around here, and then, you know, other people get that Triple J play first and then haven't played, you know, really any shows. It's just like, it's a bit of bingo, mate. You'll get bingo differently. Now, when's the last time? One of the last times I saw you was at Spaced Out in Brisbane.
Oh, yeah, Brisbane, yeah.
And typical me was just having a few yarns. I think I was chilling with Big Wheels for a bit, and these two Canadian girls were just chatting to us, blah, 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 and they were like, oh, yeah, we came to Spaced Out, because I think they were traveling from Gold Coast or whatever, and they were Canadians, and they were like, oh, we only bought tickets to see Lazy Ghost because we used to see them over in Canada all the time. Shit. So, and you walked past and I went, what a brilliant opportunity.
That's
so I brought you over and I was like, discuss,
have a chat.
Drunk me just thought that would be a brilliant opportunity. But, and like, you're one of the better people at just talking to, that I've seen, that just talk to fans and just ask questions. And, you know, it seems like you're always up for that, which is great for fans, but also just to, you know, see. Is that weird? Lazy Ghost obviously had their origins and that stuff over there, and now you're trying to create in the progress of, you know, making a new generation of the band, and there's Canadians in Oz seeing it. Is that like a weird feeling? Is that cool? Is it like kind of bring you back to the old memories? Like, is it a mixture of everything?
Well, they definitely tell me stories that I don't really remember of how, you know, we've met, or, you know, where we partied or what we were doing. I've definitely noticed that at like every show. Just being like, oh, I used to party at our place and like you slept on my couch once. I was like, sick, cool. But yeah, like in Whistler, and I think I said it before, like we played a fair few cover shows, just like in the circuit, like once a week at this place called Tapley's, and got a lot of fans, a lot of Australian fans. Like, how I could, I guess, recall it or explain it is, it's the same as playing in like a shitty Las Vegas. So, you know, it's not the glitz or glamour or anything like that. It's just, there's a touring circuit coming to you, right? So people are traveling around and you get a different crowd every week. So you got the Australians, you got the UK people. So if anyone can do it, go and play in Whistler and you'll get fans immediately from all over the world. And then when you come back to Australia, people, you have Australian fans, and then you've got all these Canadians that have met Australians over in Australia, in Canada, and they go, huh, I want to go over there. I want to go check out what that's like. And then they'll come watch your rock show.
I don't know how many people can afford to go to Canada right now.
Not me.
I mean, if you can, and you're a band, hit that up. But something you've done since, the last time I spoke to you, gotten onto the side of booking and managing, or is it just managing acts?
It's a bit of both. It's like developing really young bands and teaching them what's important and what's not important, and what to spend money on, what not to spend money on. So, you know, that dips into a bit of marketing, you know, EPK stuff, stage plot, you know, just showing up professionally, how to do that, rather than just sit there and waste 3 to 4 years time. You know, if I can do anything for these younger bands that'll, you know, bring them up in half the amount of time, you know, if the product's there and if it sounds good and people are resonating with it, you know, a little bit of help and a little bit of guidance goes definitely a long way.
I'll always, whenever you announce a new act or something, and like I've been in contact with these bands, or, you know, like I know them, I'll be like, yep, great pickup. No one else is, you know, maybe it's their first time reaching out to someone. A lot of those bands reached out to me for advice on just music. And that's what a lot of those bands will do, which is great, because they're obviously hungry for just any advice and are open to it, which sometimes people aren't, which can often suck. But getting into that side of it, what have you learned that you can kind of, you know, being on the other side of it, take for your band? Like, is there anything that you'd be like, okay, when this doesn't work out, this is kind of why, this is... maybe not how to take it and how we should take it in the future?
I think it's good for me because, you know, managing Lazy Ghost and dealing with all the admin and all the stuff behind, like, you know, we also have another, like, a team for publicity, and I have people that guide me as well. I'm not saying I do absolutely everything, but it was really good for me in a band position as, like, Kyle from Lazy Ghost, lead singer of Lazy Ghost, not the manager, seeing these other bands, you know, pushing in different ways, and, you know, really wanting to learn and really, like, kind of looking up to Lazy Ghost as well, which is super, super, is awesome. Because, like, before that, I was just kind of, like, looking at bands that are, like, already established and, like, how are these guys doing this? Like, you know, like, what's going on? So it's good to see bands that are just, in the beginning, so hungry to learn, so eager, and would kill to be in other people's positions and want to work so hard. Like, that pushes me for Lazy Ghost. So I find them helping me as well as me helping them, if that makes sense.
You've picked up a lot of really young bands, just super in their infancy as a band, getting their first couple songs out. Do you see any of like really young Lazy Ghost in any of these bands and going, oh, I know what they're thinking. I know why they're having that reaction. I so did this when I was, you know, in the first year or two of a band.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I was just like, just being like lazy and just thinks that like music, just like putting out music every now and then, like does stuff. And it just doesn't. Like, it's just, there's so many other things you need to do. Like, you just, like, I always, when I was, you know, just super early and probably, you know, 5 years ago, just being like, oh, you just put out music whenever you want and you don't really have to post about it. It just kind of, if they like it, they like it. And that is true, but there's a lot of things you can do to support the music that I didn't quite realize. And then if you do support it and put out videos with, you know, your drummer half naked on a back of a truck bed, you know, that's going to get a bit more listens than not doing anything at all.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if a lot of people have gone with maybe putting half naked men on a truck, but sure. It hopefully it works. But obviously you manage, you book your own band, all that type of stuff. Where the Aussie music scene, the Aussie festival scene's in a pretty shit area at the moment.
Yeah.
You're on a lot of sides of that right now. When you're like trying to book yourself or, you know, other bands, are you kind of maybe thinking it through a little bit more, thinking, oh, maybe this festival might not sell, so like we don't want to have that be on that lineup if it does. And then also a lot of gigs aren't selling out on the Gold Coast, in Sydney. So how much of, you know, the outside that noise was sick. How much of the outside
you're definitely
noise...
gonna cut that out.
No, I'll leave it in, fuck it. Mate, show the bloopers. How much of that outside noise do you take in when making those decisions?
I mean, cause I'm trying to help, you know, these young emerging bands that are still stuck in their still, you know, hanging out in their local scene. It's pretty safe in there. All the bands I work with have a good following, in their local hometown. And we're starting just to branch out to, you know, to doing mini tours. Like, you know, say if we worked with a band that's in Brisbane or, you know, heading up to the Sunny Coast for the first time, kind of doing gig trades here and there to try and put the bands in front of people. So not really finding too much of a hassle in there. Lazy Ghost headlines are doing well. We played a festival on Saturday in just like a mini fest in the Lady Hampshire Booty Block Party, Bootleg Rascal and Dante Knows and stuff. That was awesome. That was a good turnout, but I think very last minute. And I do listen to your podcast and stuff, and there is, yeah, definitely what you're saying. It's like a last minute thing, and it's hard to tell. Like, you've got all these bands flying interstate. And there's, you know, 100 tickets out of the 350 tickets sold till, you know, Wednesday, and it's on Saturday. You're like, what do we do here? And it's no wonder things are happening.
So, like, that's interstate stuff. And you as a band, but also manager, how do you know what the right kind of decision if to, you know, pull out or, like, pull the pin on it or, like, for booking in the future, do you have to kind of add something in the contract? Like, how do you protect your clients, but also yourself moving forward?
Yeah, and there was definitely a cancellation last year that Lazy Ghost had to do, postpone, I guess, of one of the festivals that wasn't selling too well. It'd pretty much have to be, I guess, if there was going to be a contract or anything like that. I mean, personally, I won't take these festivals probably anymore, these like mini fests that are starting up and offer you this amount for this amount, because the amount of money we lost just in that one, you know, endeavor, I think it was Perth and Melbourne, it was not worth it whatsoever. But there are venues that are offering, you know, like guarantees, like, you know, we'll pay for half your flights or your flights to come out, and that's like amazing. Like that's the best thing you can do as a venue. I don't know if they can afford it, but that really helps us out. Like that's unreal stuff.
So is it stuff like that now where it's like added benefits, or like maybe those benefits wouldn't have been a thing 18 months ago, that kind of can push things over the line like that?
Yeah, I think so. And like, you don't want to go and play a venue and, you know, they've given you X amount of money and they're expecting you to sell a certain amount of tickets, because in the end of the day, you don't really know. Like, we don't know. Like, we have a general idea, but some shows sell amazing and some shows are different. It depends what's on, who's feeling what, depends if people are stuck on TikTok in the black hole that TikTok is, like they're just sitting at home. I don't know how it's going to go for national tours. I feel like the threshold for touring bands might be pushed a bit higher, you know, like there is still a market there. Cause you see, and I remember we spoke about this last time, like Royal Otis and how they were just like, you know, they're just prodigies. Like they're
killing it.
They just caught the trend before it even happened, you know, like that's unreal. but you see them selling out
They're 50 times bigger than what they were last year.
Yeah, and they're awesome. I love Royal Otis. They're amazing. And I loved them back then too. But you see them selling out 3 shows at the Corner Hotel. Like, you know, is that to do directly with who's blown up on TikTok? Or is that because they have such a strong following? Or, you know, like where are ticket sales coming from? What's the demographic now of ticket sales? Where do you buy it? Did you buy a ticket because you saw them on TikTok? Did you buy a ticket because you like the music because it's in a Spotify playlist? What's the demographic?
Also, how much that like aversion would have played a part?
Yeah, exactly. And if that's where I watch music from, you know, as a consumer, like I'm like, I saw this band online. Was it from a sponsored ad? Or maybe, you know, I saw Royal Otis on TikTok and I like them only because of the cover. I'm going to go watch them. You know, is that my mentality? I only watch bands that are on TikTok. I don't know. I don't know how people think anymore. It's hard.
What are your thoughts? I did a reaction video on that and it might have been like 20, 25 seconds and it got like 400K views. Like my serotonin. Like all that did was react to it. But I also caught backlash on that just because I said it was, you know, my favorite song of the year so far. And that was in what, January, February? And I'm still of that thought. But it's like,
that's crazy what that I people just like go after you about your opinion online, eh? Like,
oh my so god. Odd.
It's like, oh, you can have your opinions, all right. I'm just having mine.
Mate, before me and Jazz started that podcast, I'd done 200 episodes, just over 200 episodes. I had not received any backlash on anything that I'd done. 3 eps into this new podcast, I got hundreds of comments saying that I'm like, you know, all these disgusting words that people just like, obviously not me at all. Like, it's gross. And that rattled me, you know, because I'd never had it before and I'd done all these things and that's just, you know, going into the world of TikTok. TikTok can be really, really good, but also really, really gross.
Yeah.
I'll
have to have a look at the comments. Is it still up?
Yeah. Man, I'm not taking them down.
It's my fame, brother.
Give me that algorithm, bro. So, like, it rattles you at first, but now I think I'm pretty good at my skin's pretty thick now because like I know I'm not like that, and if like it doesn't affect business opportunities or whatever, I don't really care. And I'm just being honest. I'm not being an asshole. I'm just being honest.
Keep being honest. Fuck those guys.
And I feel like no one in the music media is really doing that at the moment, which is, you know, I'll put my hand up. I'll do it. I'll always talk shit. And I think it's becoming more evident. Like we all knew TikTok was going to be a big thing. And especially for music, but not the toll that it's taken maybe in the last 6-12 months. Like it's been ridiculous and we don't know how to deal with it yet. And it's causing frustration between everyone.
Yeah.
So like as you guys as a band, like let's say you're trying to book all that type of stuff the next 12 months, what's kind of that mentality with the band? Is it like we've got to be really cautious or do you kind of double down and go, we know our fans, we know this, I reckon this is going to work?
Yeah, logistically, we can pull stuff off. Like, you know, touring New Zealand, we can pull that off because we have, you know, such a strong base around home, you know, Brisbane, Byron, Gold Coast area. You know, that can fund some stuff. But yeah, definitely. And I'm seeing more prevalence touring bands that are doing free shows across the country. So I think just to get through this period, I think there'll be a few more free shows. Like on this tour, we have a few free shows. Venues are open to it. I think it's worth it. People just want to see a free show. They don't want to go out and pay $30 to see someone and then be paying $25 for, you know, half a shot of vodka in a fucking cup. Like, they're pretty, you know, everyone's pretty over it. So if they can get something free, great. You know, I think people.
Where are you going? Where it's half a shot? It's got to be like a quarter for like $20, isn't it?
yeah. Tell me your location. Where's that?
I mean, a free show to see the new song, Eat You Alive. We focused on a lot of the bad stuff over this chat. Let's get into this one. I really enjoy it. It's not as punchy as some of your other stuff. It's more of that kind of heartwarming summer type stuff. Give me the details on it, where it came from. Obviously, putting naked blokes on trucks.
Yeah.
Give me the goss.
All right, we'll start how it was written. It was written in the Northern Rivers, of all places. I just recorded Chris. I was like, play me something on your guitar, acoustic guitar, shitty acoustic guitar. And then he played verse, chorus, bit of a bridge section. And I was like, all right, we're not going to fucking use that ever in the world. came back to it a month and a half later with Sam, our drummer. I sat up there, I pieced together, like I cut so much of his guitar in and out and just like formed a song. And I think the first thing that was written was that, da da da, like really poorly sung in a like a big garage, just kind of like really back from the mic, and it kind of stuck. And from there, it was going to be an acoustic song without any drums whatsoever until Jack, our producer, kind of got a hold of it and threw some like Sam's playing so quiet, but in the recording it sounds like he's playing them so loud, and they're just so like punchy for that style and that sound. And I think he put some like crazy compressors and like they're almost like gainy, like quiet and gainy.
Mm.
So he threw those on there. We wanted to keep it surfy. We started singing some lyrics. I forget what it was about, but it was something really lame. And we're like, you know what? Like, let's just make this, if it's going to be quiet and just mellow, like, let's just make it fun and make it interesting to listen to. That's just taking the piss. Like, let's just do a taking the piss song again.
You guys, no. It's definitely easy listening. Like, I'm not sitting there going, I have to break this song apart. Would be interesting to see how that transfers live, though, in a set. Because you guys have some real, you know, punchy songs. How do you kind of balance, like, have you thought about balancing it in your set?
How do we play it on Friday? We played a new song on Friday that no one's heard before. First time, that went well. Then we dipped into What a Time It's Been. And then we went from What a Time It's Been, which at the end we do like a live version where it's a pretty wild solo, pretty epic part. And then we take it down. So it's like, you know, that's like introduction. If you haven't seen Lazy Ghost before, hello, we're here. We're going to play a new song for you. Eat You Alive comes in, and it's so, I think because of the lyrics and it's just absolute bullshit, I think it really lands because people are really like tuned into listening to the lyrics. Like, this guy's just talking shit like up here. What's going on? So I think we get away with it. If it was not as captivating as it is in the lyrics, I think it'd be a real flop in the set. Like, I think it'd be a real flop. But because it's just like kind of dancing and bobbing around, I think it does really well. I think it's going to be good in the rest.
Now, I spoke to you before we started about the little Spotify thing where it's got your drummer half naked, making a face. Very. You talk about captivating, mate. That caught me straight away. Authenticity, super important. In this new social media day and age of Aussie music. I think that's good. What makes you go, let's do that. Let's get our drummer, who's a big hairy bear, let's get him half naked and let's, you know, kind of fucking just do that. What goes through your head?
Well, I mean, Sam does that on stage live anyway. He just rips his shirt off like first song.
I get
like,
tired
I'm done.
Watching him, mate. I saw you guys at Vinny's. I think it's like maybe just after the pod, our first one.
Yep.
I was tired watching him, mate. He goes so hard.
So hard. He starts like seizing up and he's just like, boys, chill. Yeah, but like, you know, he whips his shirt off. Like, Sam's real job in the real world is he's a metal recycler. So he's got this big truck with a hoist. And we're like, I was just like, if the fucking music industry or, you know, people want us to like make some content, like we're going to do it our way. We're going to make a bit of fun out of it. You can't sing those lyrics and just be, you know, in the corner of a room with a plant being like, yeehaw, here we go. Listen to our new music. So fun. So I think just like adding to the, we're taking the piss, like from the cover art to the reels to the, you know, the music video that we'll eventually do to the little short reels you're seeing. Like, it's all going to be a bit of a piss take. We just thought of this, the most ridiculous thing we could do, and that was putting me in a sling and dropping me down and putting Sam on the back. And
got some little goggles on. Was it like a swimming cap? Did you have a swimming cap on?
Yeah, it's like a child's swimming cap. I got it. You know, the church, how the churches have like op shops sometimes.
Yeah.
There's one in Byron that's just the worst, that stinks. And I was like, this is the perfect place to find an outfit. And I found goggles, and I found that straight away. Somehow it still cost $20. Inflation. Inflation in the church, I tell you. And yeah, just went down with a film camera and made an absolute fool of myself on Watergoes Beach in Byron, and got some good snaps.
Are you telling me that TikTok content where artists go, we can't release this song until we get X amount of pre-saves, isn't the way to go? Like, you're telling me that's not authentic? Mate.
Is that what people are doing?
Oh, it's my biggest fucking pet peeve when it comes to promoting, because like,
oh, that's rough.
Just treats fans like they're like dumb. I hate that. Like, we may be, but like, don't tell us that.
We may be. Oh, that sucks. I haven't seen that. That's lame as.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. And some Aussie artists, and some really good Aussie artists that I really enjoy are starting to do it. If I ever get them on the pod, I'll be like, no.
Honestly, if you send us a DM, we'll put out a song. Like, one person DMs us, we'll put out a song. Like, yeah, it's done.
Now, you've spoken a bit about some of the cool stuff coming up. Obviously, that it's going to be incredible. What's this schedule looking like? You've like shows, songs. What's the next couple of months look like for you guys?
How about I give you a Breaking Through podcast exclusive? Because I was going to announce it somewhere, and I wasn't sure.
Talk dirty to me.
Yeah, I knew you'd love it. So I'll talk about a couple of things. I'll talk about one, an awesome show that we're going to put on in Brisbane, and when our what should I give you? When our EP is coming out. Yeah. I'll give you those two. I'll give you two exclusives. So the show. No, let's do the EP. EP is going to be released on May 10th, 2024. So I think it's my insane trying to connect. There we go. You have to cut this part.
It'd be pretty funny
out.
If you said like 2026.
2026, yeah. Yeah, yeah, but we have to get 4 million pre-saves before we drop the EP. No, I'm kidding.
Nice.
Lazy Girls quits music immediately. Oh god. So May 10th, EP name is Serotonin. I'm not going to tell you how many songs there are, that's for another time. So to celebrate the EP's release, we have hired a boat and we are putting on an EP release party down the Brisbane River. It's limited to 100 tickets. And Midriff is supporting us, and we'll be playing all the new songs, a bunch of old ones, for about 4 hours, I think the river cruise is. And yeah, it'll just be us on there hanging out. That's the exclusive.
I love juicy goss. Oh, that I'm a little hot and sweaty, mate. That's such a good way. 4 hours.
Yeah, I don't know why they're
you're playing like that whole time.
No, we'll probably play for about an hour and a half. Midriff from Brisbane, they're going to play for probably 40 minutes. The other time we have to spend like setting up, like we're going to rush in there, set up sound, the sound tech coming in, probably a bit of some lights. It's an afternoon cruise, but yeah, it should be pretty loose. I don't know how they agreed to it.
That sounds, also just having Midriff on a couple of weeks ago, I think they're definitely a band. Sarah's voice is insane. I love how she can just kind of change her flow. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what bands need. It's just like, tell me another band that, or an act that's doing that. Like, I can't really think of any.
Yeah, no, I went into this year with just thinking like, you know, we need to just step it up. Like, you know, we're seeing all these festival cancellations and people might just be bored. Like, I don't know, you know, doing something interesting, it just translates to having content to post about it. You know, we're throwing house parties. We're still getting applications for house parties, so we're organizing those in the next few weeks. Sorry, everyone, for not getting back to you. But, you know, house parties around the country. Brisbane, Sydney, I think Melbourne, we're going to do some. We got one from Darwin. We got one in New Zealand. Maybe we'll try and throw those in, but I doubt.
What?
I really doubt the Darwin one. But we'll give it a shot. So yeah, you know, putting on things like that, it also means we can play shows kind of around those as well. Like we can play Brisbane 3 times in a weekend at private parties. You know, we can play afternoon shows. So, and just doing something special for fans, just making it interesting. I don't know. Yeah, I'm keen to do something different than just playing, you know, a dark, tiny room every weekend.
Another thing I love about TikTok is, like, some comments are horrendous, but some people have some incredible ideas. And if you click on their profile, they don't have any videos. They've got some dumb picture as their little, you know, profile picture thing.
Yeah.
But God, they have some good ideas. And House Party Gigs was one of the ideas.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, that saves everyone money. Like, I know it sucks for, you know, the venues, but maybe a bit of 50-50 of, you know, that saves a bit of money, gets, you know, makes more of a authentic experience. So I'm all for that. The boat, the house parties, house party in New Zealand playing.
Yeah, I think we'll try and add that on to our New Zealand tour later in the year. Like, that'd be so sick. But yeah, I think you're right. Like, it also gains, like, you know, super fans and also people that haven't seen you before. You've got, you know, mates and then their mates, and then they all bring their friends that, you know, oh, we don't really, you know, go out for live music. They come and see a rock show. They're like, all right, well, maybe I will get into listening to music. You know, tapping into a place where people aren't, I think, is really smart. And I think it'll help the friggin' music industry if people start doing some different stuff.
New Zealand absolutely froths music.
They do.
Like, they've got so many good artists over there, and I only realized this about 12 months ago and interviewed so many of them, and their music scene is crying out for shit like that.
Yeah.
So I reckon you'd feel that bad boy out. And how cool would that be to be like, oh yeah, the first time I saw this band, they threw a house party. Yeah. Like, that experience and how good that could be turns in, more than likely, could turn into a listener, and, you know, a pretty loyal listener. Which, mate, you're full of ideas today, and I'm all for it. A new thing I'm trying to start, the bigger bands or bands that are, you know, been going for a while, I kind of want to get into their heads a little bit and see what they're listening to, who they've kind of discovered. So I want to know from you, what's your current song on replay that you just can't get out of your head at the moment, and an act that you've recently discovered that you think's just gonna kill it in the next few months or year?
Magic Door from Melbourne. Those boys are awesome. Amazing sound. Whoever mixes their stuff, love it. Great drum sound. Put out constant music, have nice looking content, love them. I think that's it.
What song you got?
Oh, I love Borderline. Yeah, Borderline by Magic Door. It's unreal.
Had the boys on last year.
Oh, sick.
And they were playing FIFA in the background.
Yeah.
I think they're a band that have been around for a little bit and got that core listener, loyal fan base, but yeah, another band that just deserves way more. And hopefully they get it. Like, bands like the Dregs, like, they got put on the Splendor lineup, just got Triple J.
Yeah.
So overdue, but
yeah.
Good things come to those who wait, so I'm happy for that. Hopefully it comes Lazy Ghost.
Kyle, mate,
thanks for coming on. Thanks for the chat. And see you at a house party and the boat.
Hell yeah, buddy. Look forward to it. Thanks for having me on.
To keep up to date with all things Breaking Through, make sure to check out our socials.